and welcome to Program Notes for your North Carolina Symphony, an exclusive production of the Triangle Radio Reading Service. I'm George Douglas. I'll be reading the program notes for all of the Classical Music Series concerts by the North Carolina Symphony for the remainder of the 2018 season. The program notes I'm reading today are for the performances by the North Carolina Symphony on Thursday, January 25th at 7:30 p.m. at Memorial Hall, UNC Chapel Hill, and Friday and Saturday, January 26th and 27th at 8 p.m. at Maymandy Hall, Duke Energy Center for the Performing Arts in Raleigh. This concert will be conducted by the Symphony's music director, Grant Llewellyn, and Philip Quint will be the guest violinist. The program on this performance will include the following. The symphony begins with Fancy Free, a composition by Leonard Bernstein, and that will be followed by Serenade by Leonard Bernstein also, and that will feature the guest violinist. The symphony will return to the stage after an intermission to perform Symphony No. 8 in B minor, The Unfinished Symphony, by Franz Schubert. Now I'll begin reading program notes for this concert, beginning with some information about the guest violinist. An American violinist of Russian heritage, Philip Quint, plays the magnificent 1708 Ruby Antonio Stradivari violin, on loan to him through the Stradivari Society. He received several Grammy nominations for his two albums of Korngold and William Schumann Concerto. Highlights of Quint's 2017-18 season include returns with the Phoenix Symphony for the opening of their 70th season, his first collaboration with the New York City Ballet, and a celebration of Bernstein's centennial in 2018 with returns to the Milwaukee Symphony Orchestra and, of course, the North Carolina Symphony. In 2016, he opened the 28th edition of Colmar Festival, dedicated to Yasha Heifetz, and released a new recording of Glazunov and Kachatarian's violin concertos. Along with Lou Diamond Phillips, Darren Criss, and Leah Salonga, he appeared at the Kennedy Center's 2014 After the Storm benefit concert for the Philippines, and he debuted at the Hollywood Bowl as a special part of the special Joshua Bell and Friends concert. Quint's recent appearances include performances in Los Angeles, Chicago, Detroit, Indianapolis, Seattle, Toulouse, New Jersey, Minnesota, and Houston. He has appeared at the mostly Mozart, Caramore, Ravinia, Aspen, Rome, Lincoln Center, and Chautauqua festivals, and in recital and chamber performances, including most recently at San Francisco performances with composer and pianist Lyra Auerbach. His live performances and interviews have been broadcast on television, on CBS, CNN, ABC, BBC World News, NBC, Reuters, and Bloomberg TV, as well as by radio stations nationwide, including NPR, WNYC, and WQXR. Born in Leningrad in the Soviet Union, which is now St. Petersburg, Russia, Philip Quint studied at Moscow's Special Music School for the Gifted. He made his orchestral debut at the age of 9, performing Vianovsky's Concerto No. 2. And after moving to the United States, he earned both bachelor's and master's degrees from the Juilliard School. The symphony begins this program with a performance of Fancy Free by Leonard Bernstein. Bernstein was born August 25, 1918, in Lawrence, Massachusetts, and he died October 14, 1990, in New York City. Fancy Free was composed in 1943 and 1944. The first performance was April 18, 1944. Now, here is the overview. In 1943, Jerome Robbins, then a dancer with the Ballet Theater, wanted to make his name as a choreographer. He had a scenario for a ballet about three sailors on a 24-hour shore leave in New York, looking for girls, excitement, and any kind of fun they could stir up. They find it all. It was the perfect subject for the war years, with the city crammed with sailors on leave. Hunting for a composer, Robbins was turned down by Vincent Parachetti, who suggested that Robbins approach Leonard Bernstein instead. At the time, Bernstein's star was rising as a conductor and composer of serious music, although his mentor, Sergei Koussevitzky, decried his selling out to commercialism. The ballet, when it opened in April 1944 in the old Metropolitan Opera House, was a spectacular success, both in choreography and music. The music, full of complex rhythms and snappy, jazzy themes, shows Bernstein at his most exuberant and inventive. It joins scores of other American composers, such as Aaron Copland and Morton Gould, who employed the rhythms and harmonies of American popular culture on the classical ballet stage. Realizing that the subject had further potential, Bernstein and Robbins teamed up with Betty Comden and Adolph Green for the book and lyrics, and by December 1944 had created the musical On the Town with entirely new music. One of its numbers, New York, New York, is possibly one of the best-known songs from any musical. The instrumentation for Fancy Free is as follows. For piccolo, two flutes, two oboes, two clarinets, two bassoons, four horns, three trumpets, three trombones, tuba, timpani, percussion, piano, and strings. Next, the North Carolina Symphony will perform another work by Bernstein, Serenade. This particular work was composed in 1954, and the first performance was September 12, 1954, at La Fenice, Venice, Italy, by the Israel Philharmonic, and that was conducted by the composer with Isaac Stern as the soloist. Now, here is the overview of Serenade. All of his life, Leonard Bernstein vacillated between the two sides of his musical personality, producing such popular musical fare as Candide, Fancy Free, and The West Side Story on the one hand, and The Mass, the Three Symphonies, and The Serenade on the other. Composed in 1954 on a grant from the Koussevitzky Foundation, Bernstein's Serenade could be called a five-movement violin concerto in all but name. According to the composer, the inspiration came from a reading of Plato's dialogue Symposium. Bernstein wrote, "The music, like the dialogue, is a series of related statements of praise of love and generally follows the Platonic form through the succession of speakers at the banquet. The relatedness of the movements does not depend on common thematic material, but rather on a system whereby each movement evolves out of elements in the preceding one." For the benefit of those looking for literary allusions, Bernstein gave guideposts to the five movements. But one should not think of each movement as a musical portrait of the speaker, nor a description of his spin on the topic. His comments are as follows. The first one is Phaedrus Pausanias, which is in Lento or Allegro. Phaedrus opens the symposium with a lyrical oration in praise of Eros. Pausanias continues by describing the duality of lover and beloved. The movement opens with an intensely romantic solo for the violin, an introduction to the dance-like allegro that recasts the theme in a more playful vein. The second movement, Aristophanes in Allegretto. The comic playwright does not play the clown in this dialogue, but instead that of a storyteller with a fairy tale myth of love. The movement builds on the energy of the preceding allegro, but is lightly textured. The next movement, the third movement, Eryximachus. Presto, the physician, speaks of bodily harmony as a scientific model for the workings of love patterns. This is an extremely short fugato scherzo, born of a blend of mystery and of humor. The next movement, the fourth movement, Agathon, which is in Adagio, perhaps the most moving speech of the dialogue, Agathon's panegyric embraces all aspects of love. This movement is a simple three-part song, recalling the romanticism of the introduction with the violin in a dialogue with the orchestra. And the final movement is Socrates' Alcibiades, and this is in Molto Tenuto and Allegro Molto Vivace. Socrates describes his visit to the seer Diotima, quoting her speech on the demology of love, or the demonology of love. It is interrupted by an allegro representing Alcibiades, and a band of drunken revelers ushers in the allegro, which is an extended rondo ranging in spirit from agitation through jig-like dance music to joyful celebration. The first part of this final movement, however, has a dark, melancholy cast to it. The writing is more chromatic in both orchestra and solo violin, setting up the abrupt change in mood. The allegro is suffused with a jazzy energy, almost a contest of wills between the orchestra and the romantic violin. Although the soloist is soon caught up in the spirited dance, he seems determined to steer the discussion back on course with brief phrases of the first movement theme. In the final movements of the piece, however, the whole orchestra transforms the violin statement, redefining and energizing it until it gets swept away in the festivities. The instrumentation for Serenade is as follows: solo violin, which of course will feature the guest violinist tonight, the timpani, percussion, harp, and strings. And following the intermission, the North Carolina Symphony will return to the stage to perform the Symphony No. 8 in B minor, catalog listing D759, most commonly known as the Unfinished Symphony by Franz Schubert. Schubert was born January 31, 1797, in Vienna. He died also in Vienna on November 19, 1928. The Unfinished Symphony was composed in 1822, the first performance, December 17, 1865, in Vienna. Johann von Herbeck was the conductor. Now here is the overview. When Schubert burned out and abandoned teaching after 2 years in his father's school, he joined 19th century Vienna's subculture. His hangouts were cafes, beer halls, and dance halls, and he never held a steady job except for an occasional private teaching. Luckily, his better-heeled friends were generous with funds, and he repaid them with his leader, often scribbled on napkins and scraps of paper, and informal performances nicknamed Schubertiaden. These evenings with Schubert playing his music surrounded by colleagues and friends were popular, if unremunerative, in entertainment in Vienna. One of the tragic consequences of his lifestyle was the syphilis, which was diagnosed in 1822 and which would kill him 6 years later. That same year, the Styrian Music Society in Graz presented Schubert a diploma of honor, which the composer acknowledged with the gift of the symphonic fragment to its representative and his friend Anselm Hüttenbrenner, a minor composer. Hüttenbrenner, however, did not disclose its existence until 1865, when he used it as bait to get one of his own compositions performed. The mystery that surrounds its composition and its subsequent fate has probably elicited more conjecture and learned papers than any other symphonic work. Schubert is notorious for leaving behind unfinished manuscripts. We still do not know, and probably never will, why Schubert never completed the symphony. He had already composed 6 symphonies, but these were relatively youthful products, the latest composed in 1818. The incomplete autograph manuscript also includes a fragment of a 3rd scherzo movement. Perhaps Schubert found it impossible to maintain the creative level of the first 2 movements, or perhaps he was too ill from one of the first of the syphilitic attacks that came in waves. The scherzo ends abruptly after only 20 measures, followed by a number of blank pages. Schubert's piano draft of this movement has also survived and ends only a few bars later, in the middle of the trio. At the time he was composing this symphony, Schubert was in awe of Beethoven, especially his Fifth Symphony, and harbored an almost naive desire to emulate him. Schubert scholar Martin Chusid suggests that one possible reason for Schubert's inability to continue was his realization that he was unable to live up to such lofty standards. Schubert was not unique in feeling this unwarranted sense of inferiority, sharing it with such greats as Schumann and Brahms. Now here's what to listen for. Despite the symphony's most famous theme, the second melody in the first movement, the first movement leaves an overwhelming atmosphere of melancholy. It opens with a brief, barely audible introduction in the basses that returns to conclude the movement. The allegro that follows begins as a sighing motif that ratchets up the tension with its pounding timpani and climbing sequences. Then comes the famous tune like a ray of sunshine. The problem is that for the bulk of this long movement, Schubert pretty much ignores it, choosing instead to focus on the gloom. Slow movements of classical works are usually constructed in A-B-A form, consisting of a principal melody, A, and a contrasting middle, B section, often based on the theme. The second movement opens in a more promising mood with a lovely cantabile melody in the upper strings, but in the B section there ensues an emotional battle. A mournful clarinet solo recasts the theme, immediately followed by the oboe in the major mode. This is interrupted by an angry, despairing orchestral outburst. Schubert frequently employs shifts between major and minor to create abrupt musical mood swings. The fact that he takes the opportunity to repeat the two contrasting sections enhances the emotional tension, which is only released in the final bars of the movement. The unfinished symphony is orchestrated for two flutes, two oboes, two clarinets, two bassoons, two horns, two trumpets, three trombones, timpani, and strings. These symphony notes were written and copyrighted in 2018 by Joseph and Elizabeth Kahn. You have been listening to Program Notes for Your North Carolina Symphony, an exclusive production of the Triangle Radio Reading Service. I will be reading all of the program notes from the classical music series of the North Carolina Symphony for the remainder of the 2018 season. This program is available on demand as a podcast on the day before each concert series and will remain available for the remainder of the concert season. I'm George Douglas, and thank you for joining me today. We sincerely hope that listening to Symphony Notes will enhance your enjoyment of your North Carolina Symphony. Goodbye until next time.